Okay, we're starting here with the Mishnah on the top of Kaf Hei Amud Aleph. Mishnah says, Nitma Kometz Vikrivo Atzitz Miratzeh. If the Kometz becomes Tamei, which would, in essence, disqualify it from being put on the Mizbeach, if it still ends up in the Mizbeach, the Tzitz is Miratzeh, means the Tzitz takes care of that deficit, and therefore the Korban is successful, the Mincha is successful at being brought. Yatza Vikrivo. On the other hand, if the Kometz left the Azara, the area where it's bound, and then returns, and then they put on the Mizbeach, ain't a tzitz miratzeh. The tzitz doesn't help out in that situation. Because the tzitz only impacts tuma, does not impact yotzeh. So the tzitz has limited capacity to override problems, and that we're going to see in the drush of the psukim that it references to tuma, and not other problems that arise. Tanur banan. So it says with regards to the tzitz, v'nasa aron et avon hakodoshim, that aron will carry with it the avon hakodoshim. That's on the pasuk that's describing the making of the tzitz in Parshat Kitzaveh. V'yam metzach aron, v'nasa aron et avon hakodoshim, asher yaktishu b'nei Yisrael, l'chol matnot kodshem. V'yam mitzchot tamid, l'ratzon lehem lifnei Hashem. So here is the instruction that aron wear the tzitz on a continuous basis. We'll get into that later in the Masechta. But also what the tzitz functions to do, which is that it's on Metzach Aron, v'nasa aron et avon hakodoshim, that he will carry the sin of the kodoshim, and that's what the Gemara here is clarifying through the Braita. V'nasa aron et avon hakodoshim, v'chi yez avon hu noseh. What exactly is the tzitz doing? It's carrying some sort of sin, it's overriding some sort of problem, but we don't have a definition as to what that problem is. Im tomar avon pigul, if you think it is the problem of pigul, hakvarei kvar ne'amar lo yechashev. Im tomar avon notar, harei kvar ne'amar lo yiratzeh. Over here, in a number of places in Shas, there's a machloket Rashi in the Reinu Tam as to what the girsa should be. The avon pigul that's being discussed over here is not pigul of the Gemara, which means chutz lizmano, but it's pigul of the Torah, which means chutz lim komo. And notar over here can't be talking about regular notar, because if it's already the dam went on the mizbeach and the korban was good, you can't retroactively go in and invalidate the korban. So it can't be speaking about real notar. Elo machshavat notar. That's thinking about machshava chutz lizmano. That's the first thing. The second thing is, which language then is associated with pigul and which is associated with notar. Rashi, for that reason, moves them around to match them up based on the drosha in the psukim that we find in Zvachim. You look in the Balei HaTosafot, v'nasaron et avon hakodeshim perish b'kodesh v'per kama b'sachim. Rashi says, in the beginning of Sachim, garsina, the girsa should be, im avon notar, ha'karek var ne'amar, lo yechashev. V'im avon pigul, harek var ne'amar, lo yiratzeh. So that's the opposite of what we have in our girsa over here. And generally, if Rashi changes the girsa, the Gemara will reflect that change in girsa that Rashi made. But over here, our Gemara does not reflect that. And that usually happens when the Balei HaTosafot disagree and say that the girsa that's there is a good girsa. And that is Rabbeinu Tam Garis Ipcha. Rabbeinu Tam says the girsa should be just the opposite. Bipigol lo yechashev, that avon pigol should have the lo yechashev associated with it. Ubenotar, and that of chutz lizmano should be lo yiratzeh. And the reason being is depending on where you think the source for chutz lizmano and chutz limkomo are. The way that Tosafot explains Rashi is that Rashi is saying that the Parshat Tzav has the psukim about chutz lizmano, and psukim in Kedoshim reference to chutz limkomo. So it says, v'im ha'chol ye'achel b'yom ha'shilishi, pigul hu lo yiratzeh. So there, pigul is a reference to chutz limkomo, according to Rashi, and therefore the lo yiratzeh should be associated with it. So according to Rashi, the chutz limkomo, the pigul, should have the term lo yiratzeh associated with it, and then for the lo yechashev should be associated with chutz lizmano. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Tam follows the other version of what you can be doresh, and that is even within Parshat Tzav, that pasuk includes both chutz lizmano and chutz limkomo, which is an alternate view in the Gemara and Zvachim. So then he says that you follow the language in the pasuk in Tzav. Im ha'chol yechel mi'b'sar zevach shlama b'yom ha'shilishi lo yiratzeh, ha'makriv oto lo yechashev lo pigul yeh, v'nefesh ochel b'menu avunah tisa. The way the Rabbeinu Tam is seeing the drasha of the pasuk is that the earlier part of the pasuk is b'yom ha'shilishi, which is chutz lizmano, lo yiratzeh. That's associated with lo yiratzeh, and that the way our girsa reads, which is im tomar avon notar. If you say Abon Notar, which is a reference to Chutz Lizmano, it says Lo Yiretze. Hamakriv Oto Lo Yechashev Lo Pigul Iyeh. That Pigul in the Pasuk is Chutz Lim Komo. And over there it says Lo Yechashev. And then he says, Umash Niskar Pigul Kodim Lenotar. Then if you are following that Pasuk in Tzav, the order is the other way around. So why are you mentioning the Pigul before Notar? Afagav Demikrakti Beresha Chutz Lizmano. Even though Chutz Lizmano comes first in the Pasuk, according to this, the Pigul is later in the Pasuk. Mishom de Lashon Pigul Katav Mikra Behedya. The word Pigul appears explicitly in the Pasuk. So here, when it presents it, it brings you that word of Pigul first. And therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam says it's following the Lashon Pasuk in Parashat Tzav. So that's the machlok between Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam. And that has influence over the Girsa that you have in the Gemara as to which one is Lo Yiretzeh and which one is Lo Yechashev. Either way, what they're pointing out is those statements are statements of fact that lo yechashev, lo yiratzeh. Doesn't matter what happens, you can't have this count. This korban will not work. So you can't have the tzitz come along and override that and say, oh, yeah, it is yiratzeh. The pasuk specifically says lo yiratzeh, lo yechashev, that these things are disqualified so much so that there's no rectifying them. There's no way to fix the korban at this point. And so therefore the tzitz can't be overriding the issue of chutz lizmano or chutz limkomo. Ha'inu nosei el avon tuma, shehutra michlala bitzibur. It only carries the sin of tuma, which is hutra michlala bitzibur, because it is released in certain times bitzibur. How essential this is to the definition of what the tzitz is menatze is not clear. The Balei Tosafot over here say ha inu nosei lavon tuma shutra michlala bitzibur v'im tomar typically delo mishkachala midei dimitukum beikra lemituma. We're going to go through all the other options and we're going to find that there's nothing here besides tuma which is available for the tzitz to be menatzeh on. So then why do you need this qualifier? This qualifier says, oh, something unique about tuma is that it's hutra bitzibur. So if it's hutra bitzibur, it makes sense to say that tzitz will act upon something which in other situations is also mutar. Tuma gets overridden in other situations or circumstances, so the tzitz will override it in this particular case. So there is a reason to say that, but the Balei Tosafot say, do you really need that reason? Because without that reason, we can't find anything else that will be rectified by the tzitz. You tried pigul, you tried notar, we're going to try other things now, and we have psukim that indicate otherwise. So the only thing left is tuma. So why is the Braita mentioning this? Is it just mentioning it as an aside? Or is it really integral to the definition of what the tzitz is miratzeh? So the Rabbeinu Tam in that Balei Tosafot says, the Pasuk says, Mishum Dichtiv liratzon lahem, that the tzitz works because Ayah metzcho tami liratzon lahem lifnei Hashem, that the tzitz provides that ritzui before Hashem. Mashma devar hu liratzon b'makom acher. So it has to be something that has ratzon somewhere else. This is accepted in another context, and here the tzitz will take care of it in this circumstance. And that's why it tries to find, or that's why the Braita notes, that the avon tumash shutra michlalu bitzibur, according to this, is integral to the definition of what a tzitz can be meratzeh on, because it says the ratzon lahem. But then that runs the Rabbeinu Tam into a difficulty, which is, then in all these situations or scenarios, you have to come up with a ratzon lahem. Why does the Gemara then have a havamina that pigul and notar, the tzitz should be meratzeh on pigul and notar? If pigul and notar are never hutar michlalan, the tzitz can't work on them. So why is there even a question? Why do you need a pasuk to tell you otherwise? So therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam goes through each of the things that we bring up here and tries to show that they are hutar michlalam. And he says, very interestingly, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, the pigul hutar michlalo bibama, that the pigul is hutar michlalo bibama, delo shayach sham machshevet chutz limkomo. Because since the bama has no boundaries, then you can't have a chutz limkomo makshava. Venotar kedei naspo. He says that notar, which is chutz lizmano, is just brought down as a part. They usually are packaged together, so it's brought down together. And then he does give one other option, that the possibility is that you're going to learn it out avon avon. There's a gzereshava meritzui etzitz upigo nami melef hachi. You can learn it that way. Or ve'od yesh tefereish notar hutar michlalo b'minchat kohanim u'minchat kohen mashiach. The komets v'chol davar she'en lo matirim. The pigul is huta michlalo in instances or issues that don't have a matir associated with them because there's no pigul. We already had that mishnah. that there is no pigul for things that are directed on the Mizbeach but don't have a matir. Things like a komet can't have pigul associated with it. Minchat Kohen, which is Khalil on the Mizbeach, doesn't have pigul associated with it. There's no matir for it, and therefore it itself goes on the Mizbeach, but there's no pigul associated with it. So Rabbeinu Tam is scrapping around to find where do we have Hutar Mechlaloba, all these items, because he sees this as fundamentally part of the definition of what the tzitz is meratzeh on. Again, you could just see it as an aside. The Bright is pointing out why it makes sense, and it's just giving you time at the craw. Plus, it tells you that it works with Tuma, and I'll tell you why it works by Tuma, because Tuma has dispensations in other situations. The Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with that and says it's fundamental to the definition of what the tzitz is meratzeh on, the ratzon lehem. Therefore, anything you try to have the tzitz meratzeh on, you also have to have hutar michlalo associated with it. That is matvifla Rabbi Zera, ema avon yotze. Let's say that yotze should be covered by the tzitz, shutar michlalo bebama, because that has hutar michlalo in the case of a bama. There's no din of yotze by a bama because there are no boundaries associated with the bama. Now, which bama we're speaking about, Rashi claims over here, michlalo shenase yotze mimishkan, hutar bebamot no vegivon. So there's yotze that are in the Mishkan, but there's no yotze by the Novin Givon, because there are no klaim over there. It's a little bit difficult, because the Gemara in Zvachim does say that there is a din of yotze by Novin Givon, at least with regards to Kodshei Kodashim. With regards to Kodshim Kalim, there is no boundary, and that may be likely what Rashi is referencing to, which is that Kodshim Kalim have no boundary there, and that's what is Hutar Mechlo Babama. So not only is the definition the Ratzon Lehem, that it's Hutar Mechlalo, that there are other places where Ritzui takes place, but also it has to be Lifnei Hashem. It has to be something that's a violation when it's Lifnei Hashem. Obviously, if it's Yotze, that's not Lifnei Hashem. That's the exact opposite. The problem is that you've left Lifnei Hashem. Lifnei Hashem in Avon Yotze Lo. If it's Lifnei Hashem, then it will be rectify it. The Avon Deyotze, which is not Lifnei Hashem, it will not rectify. So even though it's Hutar Mechlalo, it doesn't have the other component, which is Lifnei Hashem. This reading seems to be more supportive of what the Rabbeinu Tam says, that Ratzon Lehem is fundamental. Because the Gemara is saying now, the Ratzon Lehem, Lifnei Hashem. That Lifnei Hashem is part of the definition of what the tzitz is meratzeh on. And it seems to be that these character traits are what the Gemara is looking for in order to identify that which the tzitz is meratzeh on. And it's not just the time of the kra, but rather a part of the fundamental definition of what the tzitz is meratzeh on. What about if you do it with your left hand? Avoda in the Mikdash, we know, must be done with the right hand. If you do it with your left hand, why don't you say that the tzitz is meratzeh? Shehutar michlalo b'yom ha-kippurim. Because the left hand is allowed to be used in the avoda of Yom HaKippurim. We discussed this earlier in the Masechta, that the Kohen Gadol, when he enters into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, has to use both hands. He has the pan of coals in his right hand, and he has the Ketoret and the Kaf in his left hand. So he's using his left hand for avoda. So we see there are instances where left is allowed. Amar Le Avaye Amakra Avon Avon Shayabo Vidichitiv. It has to be something which is a violation that was pushed off. Afuke Yom HaKippurim Dekshiro B'Smol. That does not include Yom Kippur, where that is the proper way to do it. Meaning that an avon that is nitche, that is something that's l'ratzon lehem. If ritzui, hutar michlalo, means you have something that is otherwise a violation, and in this instance, we're going to waive the violation. So tuma d'chuya b'tzibur, or tuma hutra b'tzibur, means the tuma is problematic. Despite the fact that it's problematic, we have a dispensation that overrides it. But here, small is not an override of something that's wrong. It's the right way to do it. This is the way you're supposed to do it on Yom Kippur. And therefore, that's not called hutar michlalo. That is heter, period. It's not hutar michlalo. And so for that reason, small cannot be the definition. And the truth is that this statement of the Gemara could then go back and also affect the other items as well. Which is that the case by Bama is very similar to this. The case of Bama that you'd say is okay, it's not a case where it's an avon and we're overriding. It's not an avon at all. So this reasoning actually could be retroactively used to dismiss the other items as well, because all of their hutar michlalo is not that you've done something wrong and then you've overridden it. It's something where that is the way it's done in this situation. As opposed to tuma, where you've done something wrong, despite the fact that there's something wrong, we allow it to go through. We allow the korban to be valid. Ravashi Amar, avon ha-kodoshim, below avon ha-maktishim. So he says, with regards to left, that doesn't work because the way that the pasuk phrases it is, Nasaron et avona kodoshim. He's going to take care of the sin of the kodoshim. The object of the sin that is done here is the kodesh itself. Velo avon ha-maktishim. Not the avon of those that are working with the kodesh. And so the small is not a problem in the hekdesh itself. It's not an inherent problem in the hekdesh. It's a problem in those that are performing the avoda of hekdesh. So it says that the tzitz can't be meratzeh, because the terminology used in the pasuk is avona kodoshim, which doesn't fit with that. So I'm going to Rav Simi Brei the Rav Idi the Rav Ashi, the Amri La Rav Sima Brei the Rav Ashi, the Rav Ashi, Ve'im Amon Avon Balmum, Shu'utar Mechlalo Be'ofot. Why don't we say that the Avon Balmum is what the tzitz is meratzeh on? So now, first of all, you have an Avon, which is a Balmum, doesn't belong on the Mizbeach. That's one. Where do you see Hutar Mechlalo? That is by ofot. By birds, we allow mumim to be placed on the mizbeach. So despite the fact that mumim are problematic, we override it by birds. Damamar, tamut, vizachrut, bebehema. The need for tamim and the need for it to be male or female, the gender being important, is true by animals. Vein tamut, vizachrut, beofot. That's not true by birds. By birds, we don't have that requirement of tamim and gender. Amalei, alecha markra, lo yiratzeh. The pasuk says about you, lo yiratzeh, ki lo l'ratzon ka'iyalachem. The pasuk in Parshat Emor that disqualifies mumim says there, kol asher bo mum lo takrivu, ki lo l'ratzon iyalachem. So there the Torah specifically states that it will not be acceptable. If it's not acceptable, then you can't have the tzitz come and make it acceptable when the Torah says it's done and it's no good. So in Ochanami, mum might have been an option over here. But despite the fact that it might have been an option, the Torah disqualifies it because it says, Ilo l'ratzon yeh lachem, that it says that it will not work. Even if you try to have it work, it won't work, and therefore the tzitz can't be meratzeh. Truth is that you could disqualify this for the same reason we disqualified before the issue of small and possibly the issue of yotze, which is here again. Mum, hutar mechlalo over here, is not a case where there's an avon. And we're overriding it by birds, there is no issue of mum. Hutar mechlalo over there is not that there's something wrong with the mum and the bird. And nevertheless, we're allowing you to put it on the mizbeach. There is no restriction against having a mum in a bird. So again, that's why before that statement or that point that is made before could affect all the items over here and basically disqualify all of them because of that problem. But here the Igmar gives an alternative answer, which is kilo ratzon yelechem. Tosfot then asks about the question of the Gemara here, why is the Gemara focused on Avon Balmum? Why doesn't it use the Avon of Trefa? Why don't we say that the Tzitz is Meratzeh on the Avon of Trefa? Because we have it Hutar Mechlalo. That is by the case of the bird. By a bird, the Malika is done on the bird. That is a Trefa outside the context of Kodesh. So despite the fact that it's a Trefa, it is accepted in the Mikdash. The Bali Tosfot say that according to the reasoning of Abaye, it's not a problem. Because Abaye says that it has to be something that's a sin that is being overridden. Over here, this is the proper way to process the bird, so that's not a problem. But according to Rav Ashi, who says the reason here is Avona Kodoshim and not Avona Maktishim, what is he going to say? Why doesn't he say that Avon Trefa is something that sits as Meratzeh on? So he says, V'yish lomar, Damrina, the same way that Rav Ashi darshins Avona Kodoshim velo Avona Maktishim, he would say the same thing over here, Avona Kodoshim, below Avon Chulin. It's something that's a sin in Kodesh and not a sin in Chulin. So Afuke Trefot, the Shayach B'Chulin. Then he says, Vim Tomar Avon Onein, Shutar Mechlolo Etzel Kohen Gadol. Why don't you say the sin of Onein? Onein is not allowed to do Avoda in the Mikdash. If he does Avoda in the Mikdash, it is Mechulal. It's profane and it's not accepted. And we have it Hutar Mechlolo by Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol is an Onein. Despite being an Onein, he can do Avoda in the Mikdash. According to Rav Ashi, who says that it's Avona Kodeshim and not Avona Maktishim, that works out well, because that's, again, a problem with the person and not with the Kodesh. But for Abaye, it's a question. Peshema Itlehu Dahadodi. What Tosfot first says is maybe Abaye has both drushot. He has the drusha of Rav Ashi and his drusha. I think over there, again, you could say that even though there's a problem of Onein, the Torah does not disqualify Onein and then say Hutar Mechlalo. It says by Onein of the Kohen Gadol, he's allowed or he's supposed to do Avoda. It may have to do with how you read the Pasuk. The Kohen Gadol is an Onein. Does he have permission to do Avoda? or must he do avoda? So that's a machloka that we saw in the Rishonim as to whether the Kohen Gadol must engage in avoda while he's in Unain, because otherwise it would be profaning his position as the Kohen Gadol, or whether it's just a dispensation. If he chooses to do the avoda, that might make a difference here as to whether it's disqualified by Abaye, who says that if it's a sin and overridden, then that's one thing. But if it's totally permissible, that's not something that sits needs to be meretzeon. That's not hutar mechlelo. He says, v'im tomar avon de mechutzer zman. What about another avon where we have here in the Psukim and Emor, you're not allowed to bring an animal before the eighth day. If you bring it before the eighth day, it's not accepted. That's what it says. Over there it says, miyom ha-shmini v'hala yiratzeh. From the eighth day on, it will be accepted, implying that before that, lo yiratzeh. So that's how it's disqualified. He says, mi ukasha mi avon to oto ve'et b'no. He says, what about avon oto ve'et b'no? You're not allowed to bring a parent and child on the same day in the Mikdash. There, it's hutar mechlelo ba'afot. By birds, there's no such restriction. According to what I said before, that Ravashi has a drasha of avon kodashim and not avon chulin. Over here, it would be an avon chulin. The oto b'no is not just a unique issue within the world of kodashim, it's an issue outside the world of kodashim, so issue for chulin as well. And therefore, maybe that would be the disqualification over here. So Tosfot's going through additional possible sins here that the tzitz could be miratzeon that the Gemara does not address. And he's trying to, using the tools that we were given here, trying to address them. Whether it's Abaye, who tells us that it's not called Huta Mechlalo if there's no sin, or it's Ravashi, who's telling us that it's Avona Kodashim and not Avona Maktishim, we're going to extend that to mean Avona Kodashim and not Avon Chulin. It's got to be an Avon that's uniquely centered in the world of Kodesh, not a sin that is effective in the world of Chulin, like Treifa, Otove Epino. Those aren't unique to Kodashim. They also apply in Chulin as well. And therefore, it's not Avona Kodashim. It is an avon that's manifest in Kodashim, but it's also manifest in Chulin, and therefore it's not avon HaKodashim. So he uses the tools that we have to try to explain why all these other disqualifying events or problems that you can have with Kodashim are not helped out by the tzitz. And again, using the way that the Gemara dismissed other problems, we can dismiss these problems in the same way. Now the Gemara says, Tarabanan, Dam Shinitma V'Zarko B'Shogeg. If Dam became Tameh, and then he did the Zrika b'shogeg, it's not clear here what the Shogeg is modifying, and that will become a machloket later on in the Gemara, whether the Shogeg is modifying the Dam Shenitma, or is it modifying the Zarko? Is it modifying that how the Dam became Tameh? It's modifying how he does the Zrika at the Dam on the Mizbeach. B'shogeg, Hurtza, it's okay, Tzitz is Menatze on it, B'mezid, lo Hurtza. Said intentionally, then the Tzitz does not help you out. Where is that true? By yachid, by individuals. Ava b'tzibur, ben b'shogeg, ben b'mezid, hurtza. When it comes to the tzibur, it's irrelevant whether it's done b'shogeg or b'mezid. It's miratzeh over here, meaning that if you believe tumah hutra b'tzibur, that you don't even need the tzitz to be miratzeh. If you think tumah is dechuya b'tzibur, and then you need the tzitz together with the dechuya b'tzibur to override over here, then it's not governed by this difference between shogeg and mezid. It's only an issue by the yachid. It's not an issue by the tzibur. So the difference between shogeg and mezid is only relevant by the yachid. We'll see why that might be the case. By the tzibur, it's not relevant. And again, if it's tumah hutra b'tzibur, which Tosafot said might have been the habamina here, then you think tumah hutra b'tzibur, therefore the tzitz isn't relevant. That's the reasoning over here. Gemara is going to say no, that the reason by tzibur is it's different than the yachid, and since it's different than the yachid, shogeg and mezid are not relevant by it. We know that Obdei Kochavim are allowed to bring Korbanot, because it says Ish, the Rabot, they're allowed to bring Korbanot, Ola, to the Mikdash. Ben B'Shogeg, Ben B'Mezid, Ben B'Ones, Ben Miratzon, doesn't matter how it comes about, Lo Hurtza, the Tzitz does nothing with regards to the Korban of an Obdei Kochavim. Now first of all, Shogeg and Mezid, we understand the difference between them. Ones and Mratzon is somewhat repetitive. The truth is that Shogeg and Ones are different, so that's not so problematic. The bigger issue is Ratzon and Mezid. The Mezid and Ratzon are synonymous with each other, and Rashi says that it was just brought down Agav. In order to make a parallel here inside of the Braita, they wanted to have a nice way to have it say, Shogeg, Mezid, Ones, Ratzon. Truth is, Ratzon and Mezid are the same, but Shogeg and Ones are different. So they didn't want to say ben b'shogeg, ben b'mezid, ben b'ones, because that would have been an uneven way to say it. So they do it, shogeg, mezid, ones, ratzon. even though Ratzon and Mezid overlap and are considered to be the same. There are Rishonim in other places that try to distinguish between Mezid and Ratzon to say that these are all four different items. As to why, when it comes to the Ovid Kochavim, that Tzitz is not Meratzeh, is because, as Rashi says over here, it says in the Pasuk, L'Ratzon Lahem, that it's a Ratzon for you, which is, V'yal Mitzvot Tamid, Ratzon Lahem, Lifnei Hashem, the Lahem, the antecedent of Lahem, is Bnei Yisrael in the Pasuk, because it's Ashiyash Dishu Bnei Yisrael. So the Tzitz only works for Bnei Yisrael. So Rashi says it's a Gzera Tekaduv, L'Ratzon Lahem. Although Ravashi in Masechet Zvachim, Daf Memhei Amud Bet, explains L'Ratzon Lahem as being the reason why. Not necessarily because L'Ratzon Lahem below the Ovid Kochavim, rather, those that gain Ritzoi through their Korbanot, the Tzitz is Meratzeh for. Bnei Yisrael bring Korbanot, they get Ritzoi. If people told it, so no, Lifnei Hashem, that the purpose of the Korban is to have Ritzoi before Hashem. That is only true by Bnei Yisrael. In Ovid Kochavim, who brings the Korban, it's a Nedava. It's simply a donation to the Mikdash. We view it as a donation. We don't view it as Ritzoi before Hashem. So that might be that the concept of Ritzoi is uniquely associated with Bnei Yisrael. And since it's uniquely associated with Bnei Yisrael, the Tzitz can only be Meratzeh for Bnei Yisrael because they have this concept of Ritzoi. Ovid Kochavim has no concept of Ritzoi. There's nothing to speak about in terms of the Tzitz being Meratzeh because Ritzoi is not a terminology that is relevant to the Ovid Kochavim. The Rashi sees it as more like Gzeret HaKatuv, whereas there are those that explain that it's more fundamental as to the nature of the Korban Bnei Yisrael versus the Korban of the Ovid Kochavim. So Reminu, Alma Tzitz Meratzeh. So now we have a Breita that seems to be in contradiction to what we just read from the Breita. Alma Tzitz Meratzeh L'Dam, V'L'Basar, V'L'Chelev Shenitma. So here you have the Tzitz being Meratzeh on Dam, Basar, and Chelev. These are all integral components of the Korban. That became Tamei. We know that Tuma is what the Tzitz is Meratzeh on. Ben B'Shogeg, Ben B'Mezid, Ben Bonus, Ben B'Ratzon, Ben B'Yachid, Ben B'Tzibur. Over here, it works across the board. So the key difference between this Breita and the previous Breita is that there's no distinction in Yachid between Shogeg and Mezid. The previous Breita, we said, B'Shogeg it's Meratzeh. With Mezid, it's not Meratzeh by the Yachid. Over here, it says, by the Yachid, just like the Tzibur, there's no distinction between Mezid and Shogeg. So Rabbi Yosef Lokasha, how Rabbi Yosef, how Rabbonon, the Breitot are authored or attributed to different Tanaim, and they have different views here. The Tanya, Ein Tormim in a Tamei ala Tahor. One may not take off Trumat Me'ah from that which is Tahor. Vim Taram, if he does do this, Bishogeg Trumato Truma, if it was unintentional that he did this, then his Truma becomes Truma. B'mezid, if he does it intentionally, ain't trumato truma, then the truma is not effective. Tosfos does qualify this idea that b'mezid ain't trumato truma. He says that's only true that it was lo chazi klau, when it never was ra'oi at all, the item that you're taking off. On the other hand, if it is chazi tzat, it was ra'oi at some point, then even b'mezid trumato truma, the truma is a good truma. B'yosi Omer, ben b'shogeg, ben b'mezid trumato truma. Whether it's Shogeg or Mezid, the Truma goes through. So here's a similar concept where there's something wrong that's being done. And the question is your action effective? So according to the Tanakhama, the Chachamim, your action is only effective if you do it unintentionally. But if you do it intentionally, if you do it with Mezid, then your action is not efficacious and there's no Truma here. Rabbi Yossi says it doesn't matter. Shogeg or Mezid, your action is effective. Now what exactly the problem is with Tormim and Tamei Latohar, the Gemara here does not discuss. Rashi over here suggests that the problem is that it's min hara'a ala yafa, that you're not allowed to take off bad stuff from the good stuff. The pasuk tells you that you have to be arim chalbo mimenu, that you have to take off the best of the items for truma. And if you're taking off something that's tmea, then you're not taking off the best. You're taking off something that is not necessarily useful, and therefore it's a problem of toreim min hara'a ala yafa. You're taking off lower quality from something that is higher quality. And that's what is the disqualifying event over here. How do you know that when you do the wrong thing and you take off the bad stuff from the good stuff that it's effective and it becomes truma? The pasuk says, "Lo tisu alav chet beharim chemet chelbo mimenu." Lo tisu alav chet is connected to when you're taking off chelbo mimenu, when you're taking off the best from it, implying that if you don't take off the best, then tisu alav chet, you will be carrying a sin. If you are unsuccessful at taking off the truma, what type of sin are you going to carry? Because had it been that you were ineffective in your actions, then there'd be no sin to carry because you never created the item that you wanted to, or you never were effective in your action. So Rashi quotes that pasuk, and in that context, he says, that's why over here, the truma is problematic, is because you're taking off ra'ah min ha'yafa, but it's effective because the Torah tells you that it's a sin there. So then why do the Rabbanan say b'mezid ain't trumato truma? Rashi says, the Rabbanan kansua mishum hezid. It's a fine, it's a penalty for doing it b'mezid. So now that penalty for doing it b'mezid disqualifies the truma, which means midoraita, that is good truma, whether you do it b'mezid or shogeg. The Rabbanan say we penalize you if you do it b'mezid. But Yosef says we don't penalize by the case of mezid. Now, carrying that back to our case over here, that means by the case of Tuma, Rabbi Yossi is going to say we don't penalize people when they do it b'mezid, and therefore the tzitz is menatzeh, ben b'shogeg, ben b'mezid, there's no knas. The other brayta that said by Yachid, mezid is problematic, shogeg is not problematic, that'll be exactly the same view. The tzitz is menatzeh on both. Just happens to be that when you're a Yachid and you do it b'mezid, we're going to penalize you because you did something wrong intentionally. So Chamin will penalize you and say that the tzitz is not effective in that case to take care of you. They disqualify the korban, b'drabanan, because of the fact that you did it b'mezid. That will also, as I noted before, maybe explain why the tzibor doesn't have a distinction between shogeg and mezid. To penalize someone by shogeg and mezid by an individual makes sense, because that individual or the particular person has done something wrong. To penalize the tzibor for the action of that one individual doesn't make sense. You're not going to get something that's effective by penalizing the whole tzibor for the sin of that individual or the one who does it b'mezid. And so then, in all likelihood, that penalty is not relevant by the cases of the tzibor, and that's why the Braita said there's no distinction between shogeg and mezid with regards to the tzibor. That's Rabbi Yosef's suggestion over here, that the contradiction of the Braita is resolved by attributing one to the Rabbanan and one to Rabbi Yosef. So that's one way to learn it. The other possibilities as to what the problem is by Tormim and Atamei al Tahor, the Gemara in Shabbat brings the reason as being a problem of that you have to give the Truma to the Kohen, Titein Lo, Velo Do'oro, that the Truma is L'Achila. You have to give it to the Kohen to be eaten. If you give Truma Tmeyah to the Kohen, then it can't be eaten. It can only be burnt. Rashi in Yevamot suggests that the problem is Hefzed HaKohen. You're causing monetary loss to the Kohen by giving him items that have limited utility. Therefore, it's a problem of Gezel HaKohen. And the Rosh Mishantz suggests that the problem is Gzeira, because the problem of what's called Toremin HaMukaf. In general, we want you to take off Trumot from things that are in front of you, not things that are far away or you don't have any access to. We want the objects to be in front of you and close to you. The Trumah is taking off an object that's right there, and you're being mafish the Trumah for the object that's there. Our fear is if you have Tameh and Tahor, you're not going to do that, because you don't want to get them touching each other, because then Tameh will affect the Tahor. So you're going to violate the Mukaf din because of the Trumah. So then that way it's a gzirat chachamim that you shouldn't do it this way, because if you do it this way, you might lead to another problem, which is the problem of mukaf. You're going to end up taking it off where it's not adjacent to each other. So for any of those reasons, there's a problem here in taking off the trumat tmeah from the residual that is tahor. And we say here, there's a distinction between shogeg and mezid according to the chachamim. According to Rabbi Yossi, there isn't any. Mar says, imor dishmaile the Rabbi Yossi de lo kanis. We know that Rabbi Yossi is not kones by the case of trumat. The fact that the tzitz will be meratze on achila, who says that that such a thing is true? So Rashi explains over here that there is a big difference between the tzitz being meratze on the korban, which means that the korban is successful and you don't have to bring a new korban, versus the tzitz being successful at allowing you to consume the korban. So Rashi notes over here, achi nakar achilot. Why does the Gemara over here say that achila is the issue for Rabbi Yossi? Da olim kuli yama modi the tzitz meratzeh. Everybody agrees that things that go on the mizbeach, the tzitz takes care of. The tani bereish toat kohanim, v'nirtzolo the chaper alav badam. Because the adam hu banefesh yichaper, that the ikor kapara and the ikor ritzui is associated with the dam. And the el adam tor. That's only true by dam tor. Dam tamei, how do I know? Minayin. Tamalomar v'nasaron et avona kodoshim. The tzitz is meratzeh. So, badam kamari dichtiv l'ratzon lahem. V'hach aktiv v'nirtza. Ma'ach adam afatam dam. V'en li'al adam. Minayin rabot kol ha'olim. How do I know anything that goes on mizbeach that sits as meratzeh over tuma? Tamalomar l'chol matnot kol sheyem. For anything that's put on the mizbeach. So Rashi says that when it comes to things that are going on the mizbeach, olim on the mizbeach, nobody disagrees that the tzitz is menatzeh. So the Gemara here notes that, does Rabbi Yossi agree b'achilot? Because that's where we have a machloket as to whether the tzitz is successful at helping out with items that are going to be eaten, like the basar. Things that go on the mizbeach, everybody agrees that tzitz is menatzeh. Things that don't go on the mizbeach, the question is the tzitz menatzeh? So for instance, basar tameh. Is the tzitz menatzeh? Basar tameh does not end up on the mizbeach. It's an olah, it does. So then there'd be no question. But in any other korban where it doesn't end up in the mizbeach, is the tzitz menatzeh. The Gemara Mitzvachei makes it clear that that does not permit achila over here. Rather, it just means that the basar is qualified that will allow it to have other isurim devolve upon it, or will remove the isur of me'ila. In order for something to have me'ila removed from it, it has to be effectively connected to the zrikat adam. So if the basar is disqualified, and then he just regat the dam, it never has a release from me'ila. Or, if you have pigul with regards to a machshava by the dam, does that pigul affect the basar? Well, the basar is already disqualified, there's no pigul by it. There's only going to be pigul if the basar was at some time kasher, or sometime it was effective. So the tzitz being meratzeh on the achilot takes care of those problems. Which is that, if the tzitz is meratzeh on the basar tameh, then there won't be any me'ila after the zrikat the dam is done. If the tzitz is meratzeh on the achila, the basar, then you can have pigul by the basar, because then the korban was accepted and so was the basar. The tzitz meratzeh says this basar is effective basar, even though you can't eat it, it's effective in association with the korban, and therefore pigul can affect it. And then Tosafot also notes that Rashi wasn't so careful, because he says, lo dak bekunches be'olim dami ashkan plukta. Because even in Pesachim we find a machloket not only about the tzitz being meratzeh on achilot, there's also a machloket about the tzitz being meratzeh on olim, things that go on the mizbeach. So he says it's not as straightforward as Rashi says, but nevertheless, the Gemara brings the issue of achilot according to Rashi, because that's where there is a machloket tanaim. According to Bayit Tosafot, that's because where we find an explicit statement about Rabbi Yossi's position. Batanya, we have a bright there, but there's Omer, tzitz meratzeh al achilot. Rabbi Yossi Omer, in a tzitz meratzeh al achilot. So now you have an explicit statement by Rabbi Yossi that the tzitz is not meratzeh al achilot. And therefore, he can't be the author of that brayta that says that there's no distinction between shogeg and mezid, because there it says, ma tzitz meratzeh, ala dam, ala basar, ala chelet. Basar is not an olim, that's an achila. And he says over here that tzitz is not meratzeh on that item. So he can't be the author, the attribution of that brayta. So the Gemara says, epoch, will flip the positions in the brayta. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, ain't a tzitz meratzeh al achilot? Rabbi Yossi Omer, tzitz meratzeh al achilot. Then everything will work out, because then in Truma, Rabbi Yossi says, no distinction between Shugig and Mezid. We'll also say by Tzitz Meratzeh, no distinction between Shugig and Mezid. We're talking about Achilot, because Basar is also near Tzeh, Ayudei the Tzitz. No problem, because Rabbi Yossi says that the Tzitz is Meratzeh Achilot, because now we flip their positions. Can you really flip their positions? Because now you're going to run into a problem with Rabbi Eliezer. Vatanya. If basar becomes tamei before the zrikat adam is done, you would think that you might be chayav for eating it bituma. Tamal omar, kol tohor yuchal basar, v'nefesh asher tuchal basar mizevach ha-shlamim asher l'ashem, v'tumoto alav, v'nichrata ha-nefesh ha-i. So that pasuk is referencing to the fact that if the person is tamei tumat ha-guf, he himself is tamei, and he consumes basar kodesh, he's chayav karet. And the pasuk gives two statements in it. Kol tohor yochal basar. Someone who is tohor can eat the basar. Someone who has tumat haguf may not eat the basar. That teaches you the type of basar that you're chayav for when you have tumat haguf is basar that can be eaten by tehorim. Basar that can be consumed by others that were tohor. If you have basar that is tamei before zrikat adam, that means that the basar was never qualified to be eaten by tehorim. There was never a point in time where that basar could be consumed by anybody tohor, because it was already tamei before you ever hit zrikat adamim. So that's why you will not be chayav. If a person with tumat haguf eats or consumes such basar, even after zrikat adam, they're not going to be chayav karet for that. Hanitar l'tohorim chayavim alav mishum tuma. Something that was released or allowed by the tohorim, you have a problem if you have tumat haguf. She'enu nitar l'tohorim, ein chayavim alav mishum tuma. That which was never qualified for a tohor to eat, there you're not going to be chayav for tumah. O'enu ela, Nechal torim chayvin ala mishum tuma. If a tor can eat it now, then you'll be chayav for tuma. She'enu nechal torim. If torim can't eat it now, ain't chayvin ala mishum tuma. Otzi ani et alan ve'et ayotzei. If that's the case, so I'm going to knock out lan et yotzei. She'enu nechalim torim. They cannot be eaten by even those people that are tor. Tamalomar asher la Hashem. The pasuk says asher la Hashem riba. It comes to include things. Yochol shani mirabe et pigulim. You would think that I would include pigul, other things that are disqualified, meta notarot, or things that are left over. Mar says notarot hainulan. Wait a minute. Lan is something that just stays past the expiration date. So notarot is notar, is something that passes the expiration date. You just told me that you included lan and yotzei for the ribui of asher l'Hashem. Now you're trying to exclude it? Doesn't make sense. Ella, afa pigulim kenotarot. You have to read it, not pigul and notar, but rather we would include pigul like notar. Just like someone who's tamei, tumataguf, eats something that went past its expiry date, or eats something that left the azara, then you're going to be chayav karet for that. So too, if someone eats something that is pigul, they'll also be chayav karet, not just for pigul, they'll be chayav karet also for the fact that it is being eaten with tumat aguf. We say a pigulim should be like the notar in that way. Even though it's a little strange that the Gemara is asking that possibly you should be chayav by pigul, Gemara only really offered two options in the Braita. The Braita said either was nitar le torim, or is neachala yedei torim. That it was, can be eaten by torim, or it's something that was qualified at some point for torim to eat. Pigul is never qualified, so why would you have a havamin to include pigul? So the Tosafot Chitzoniot that's brought in the Shid Mekbetzer Odalit says, V'im tomar lo pigul ein itar l'torim, v'shlomar kevin tein pigul nikva, ad shiikvu kol matirav. As we know, pigul only works when you do everything correctly along the way. U'bayim bebat achat, achila u'pigul. The pigul comes effective at the moment that the achila then is disqualified. Therefore, since they happen bebat achat, ha'bin shapir nirtar l'torim. The equivalent or similar to the case of Nitar l'Torim, because there was this moment at which the Pigol and the Achila became effective, which is the Pigol now disqualified it and the Achila is no longer allowed. But that moment is considered to be a moment of Nitar l'Torim. And in a stretched or far-fetched way, you could suggest that it does have that qualification Nitar l'Torim, and that's the Havamino of the Braita to include it here in an item where you'll be Chayav for having Tumat Aguf and consuming it. From amongst the Zevach HaShlamim, Mi'et. There's a miut now. Where do you draw the line? Certain things you're going to make them chayav for when he has tumat aguf. Certain things won't be chayav karet when he eats with tumat aguf. Achar shriba katuv. Mi'et. After the pasuk includes some things and he excludes other things. The reason I'm going to include these items like lan and yotzei is because at some point, they were qualified. On the other hand, pigul never had a shata kosher. So what the answer of the Gemara is that which was nitar, the tahor, that which was qualified at some point for the tahor, that's where you're going to be chayav if you eat it tumat aguf. So first of all, lan is past expiration date, which means that until the expiration date, it was something that was qualified for somebody to eat, or a tahor to eat. Yotzei, until it was taken out of the azara, it was qualified for a tahor to eat it. Only once it's taken out is he disqualified. But that means that it had shata kosher. It had a period of time where it was ra'ui to be eaten by a tahor. In that case, if you eat it with tumat aguf, you're going to be chayav. Pigul happens at the time of the zrikat adam. It's a machshava during the avodah tadam. If you had the machshava then, it was already disqualified at the moment of zrikat adam. That means it never had a moment where a tahor could eat it. And therefore, tumato alav, when you're tamei, tumat aguf, you're not going to be chayav karet consuming such an item. And similarly, when it comes to the issue of tumah that happens before zrikat adam, over there, it was never qualified for a tahor to eat it. It was disqualified from before the zrikat adam. It was tamei beforehand. Even when you do the zrikat adam in the tzitzis menatzeh, it's not going to help you with regards to the basar that is tamei. There is never shata kosher. On the other hand, if the tumah happens after the zrikat adam, then it did have shata kosher. Then at a time when it was ra'ui l'tohorim, if that's the case, then if the person with tumat aguf eats it, they're going to be chayav karet. V'im tomar basar shnitma lifnei zrikat adamim And it makes sense to draw this conclusion. So far, the Braita only disqualified Pigul. If it only disqualified Pigul, then you would think, by the case of Basar Shnitma Lifnei Shrikata Damim, that there would be a problem of eating it for Tumat Aguf. And that's why the Braita comes to the following conclusion. If you have Basar that was Tameh before Shrikata Dam, and then you eat it after Shrikata Dam, you chayev it because of Tumat, and it has to explain why that is the case. And that is because Lifnei Shatzitz Minatzeh. Because there the tzitz is menatzeh. Nitma in, yotzei lo. That is true by tum'ah, it's not true by yotzei. Mach ma'itlei. Who's the one who told us damar ain't zrika mo'elet li yotzei? That zrikat adam doesn't help out yotzei? Rabbi Eliezer. That's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, that once the basar leaves, once there's yotzei, you can't do zrikat adam. V'ktani de menatzeh tzitz al achilot. And here it says that the tzitz is menatzeh an achilot. So you would have thought that Basar Tamei that comes before the Zrikat Adam is disqualified. It was never Shata Kosher. The answer to that is Tzitz Menatzeh. The Tzitz is Menatzeh on the Basar so that it has, quote unquote, a Shata Kosher. This is what I was telling you before, that when the Tzitz is Menatzeh on Achilot means it makes it as if it was a qualified piece of meat, as if it had a Shata Kosher. And therefore over here, the Tzitz is Menatzeh, it's to the point where that Basar was Tamei beforehand. Now if you eat it between the group afterwards, you're going to be chayav karet for that, because it was as if the tzitz took care of it and gave it a shata kosher. What the Gemara is mitayek at the Braita is, that's true by basar shenitma. It is not true by yotzei. Yotzei that left the mikdash before zrikat adam and came back after zrikat adam, the question is the zrika effective on that basar that left, or that chaylev that left? It's machloket Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Kiva, as to whether we saw this before, that zrikat adam is effective in that case. Rabbi Eliezer believes the Zrikat Adam is completely ineffective. That means that it remains problem of Me'ilah. It remains problems of Basar Kodesh, and you can't do anything with it. On the other hand, Rabbi Kiva says the Zrikat Adam is Miratzeh on Yotzei. It takes away the din of Me'ilah. So this Braita that says that the Zrikat Adam is effective at helping the Basar Tamei, but not effective at helping Basar of Yotzei, tells you that it has to be authored by Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer is the one with that opinion that Zrikat Adam does nothing to help you out with Yotzei. And that's the distinction being made by the Braita. There's a difference between Tuma before Zrikat Adam and Yotzei before Zrikat Adam. Tuma before Zrikat Adam, the tzitz takes care of. Yotzei before Zrikat Adam, nothing takes care of it and it's problematic afterwards. According to Rabbi Giva, who says that the Zrikat Adam is Miratzeh on that which is Yotzei, it was effective, clearing it from Me'ilah, giving it a Shata Kosher, quote-unquote, for that. So this has to be altered by Rabbi Eliezer. If it's altered by Rabbi Eliezer, we're seeing that the tzitz is Meratzeh on the Basar Tamei. That means Rabbi Eliezer is clearly of the opinion that tzitz is Meratzeh on Achilot. So you wanted to flip the Braita before and say, ah, Rabbi Eliezer said tzitz is not Meratzeh on Achilot. Doesn't work. Because here you have a Braita that says Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is tzitz Meratzeh on Achilot. That means the Braita before was correct. Rabbi Eliezer says tzitz is Meratzeh on Achilot. Rabbi Eliezer says it's not Meratzeh on Achilot. If he says that, he can't be the author of the Braita that is in contradiction to the Braita we brought on the previous Amud. So Elam Rav Chista, Lo Kasha, Ha Rabbi Eliezer, Ha Rabbanan. No problem. We'll make the author of that position Rabbi Eliezer and not Rabbi Yossi. Because Rabbi Eliezer, first of all, says that tzitz is Meratzeh on Achilot. So he can be the author of the Braita that says, Ma tzitz Meratzeh al dam basar en chelev that's tamei. So there you have tzitz meratzeh on achilot works according to Rabbi Eliezer. Where it says, imer d'shmai leh Rabbi Eliezer d'meratzeh tzitz al achilot. That part of the opinion we know. The lo konis mishmai leh. How do we know that he's not konis mesid? How do we know that he doesn't have a kanas there? We have that with regards to Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim, but we don't have Rabbi Eliezer's opinion there. Where it says, in. Ke'eke d'shmai leh the Rabbi Yossi, shmai leh the Rabbi Eliezer. The same way we know that Rabbi Yossi thinks that there's no kanas by mesid, we also see it by Rabbi Eliezer. Titania. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, ben b'shugeg, ben b'mezid, trumato, truma. By truma, if he does it whether b'shugeg or b'mezid, the truma is effective. When he takes off the trumat mea from the trumato ora, it works. So you see, he believes that even if you do it b'mezid, the truma is effective. Imer t'shmaile Rabbi Eliezer b'truma, the kilo. Okay, we see his position with regards to truma, where it's kal. We call the shim d'charmire b'shmaile. Where do you have any evidence that he would say the same thing by kodeshim? Might be by Truma, which is a lower level of Kedusha. He says, all right, we'll let Mezid go in there and the Truma will be good Truma. But by Kodoshim, if you do it by Mezid, maybe he wouldn't accept that, and maybe he would say there is a knas there like the Chachamim. My answer is an interesting answer. Imkain, ha aman tarm yet. If we don't say that in Rabbi Eliezer, who's the author of this Braita above? We ran out of people to give attribution to this Braita. The Rabbana can't be the author of the Braita. Rabbi Yossi can't be the author of the Braita. Rabbi Eliezer possibly could be the author of that Braita. But then you have to make a leap, which is his opinion by Truma, is also his opinion by Kodeshim. That's not a quantum leap. That's not so crazy. You would, if without any other evidence, you would say, maybe not. But over here, where this, making him the author of that Braita, solves a huge problem for us, and then gives us attribution to Braita, it makes sense to say that that is Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, since Rabbi Eliezer is the only Tana that we heard that says that the tzitz is menatzah on achilot, and therefore that limits the scope of Tanaim that we can use or give attribution to this Braita. And so therefore, to make that small leap makes sense that just like he's not koneis mezid by Truma, he also is not koneis mezid by Kodoshim, to make Rabbi Eliezer the author of that Braita. And that's how we're going to get to the authorship of that Braita. And the Braita on the bottom of the previous Amud that distinguishes between mezid and shogeg will be authored by the Chachamim, who say that we are koneis mezid. Now I mentioned before that the Braita that we brought before says that b'shogeg it's hurtza, b'mezid lo hurtza. If you do it b'shogeg, it works. If you do it b'mezid, it doesn't work. I mean, the tzitz is b'natze on shogeg, it's not b'natze on mezid. Over there in the Braita, it's not clear if that's modifying the nitma adam, if that modifying the zarko. Is it the tum'ah that happened b'mezid or b'shogeg? Or is it the zrikat adam that happened b'mezid or b'shogeg? And that's the machloket amoraim over here. Rabbi Amar, tumato, ben b'shogeg, ben b'mezid. Hurtza, how the item became tumay is irrelevant. Whether it happened intentionally or unintentionally is irrelevant. There, it's going to be hurtza. Zrikato, b'shogeg hurtza, b'mezid lo hurtza. Then, by the zrikat adam, it makes the difference whether you do it b'mezid or you do it b'shogeg. If you do it unintentionally, the tzitz will be meratzeh. If you do it intentionally, then the tzitz will not be meratzeh. Here, you are knowingly, wantonly, taking dam that is tamei and sprinkling it on the mizbeach. So that's the ikar part of the korban, is putting the dam on the mizbeach. And you're doing it intentionally the wrong way. That's not going to work, or there the tzitz is not going to help you out at all. From Shilo Amar, zrikato, ben b'shogeg, ben b'mezid urtza. Zrikat the dam isn't the problem here. Whether you do it intentionally or unintentionally, the zrika the dam will be taken care of by the tzitz. Tumato b'shogeg urtza. If the item became tamei unintentionally, then the tzitz is menatzeh. B'mezid lo urtza. On the other hand, if it is done intentionally, if it came tamei intentionally, the tzitz will not be menatzeh in that case. You can see the Baal HaTosafot Tosfot asks, why is Shila stretching to read the Braita when they simply read clearer according to Ravina? So Tosfot gives the reasons. Apo pish yitzarech litchok alashon alibay, nechale lishnui achay velok Ravina. He is compelled to do this and not like Ravina, because he says, gavra lechbure kabayi, vana nikom v'niknesei. And so Rav Shila sees the actual being mitameh, the item, where there's no mitzvah being done, as being the bigger issue, and therefore we be koneis by the mezid over there. But the zrika the dam, where you're actually doing a mitzvah and you're trying to attain kapara, over there we're not going to be koneis the mezid. And Ravina believes just the opposite. The person who made it tameh, yes, they did something wrong, but they're not doing anything that's quote-unquote denigrating. Whereas if you offer up something that's tameh to Hashem and violate the word of Hashem not to bring something tameh, that's a denigration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a dismissing of the laws of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the face of trying to attain kapara. That's much more problematic, and therefore we make a koneis mezid in that case. So there's their machloket as to where we make a distinction between shogeg and mezid with regards to the tzitz b'meratzeh. According to Ravina, the distinction is in the zrikat adam, not in how it became tuma, but rather in the execution of the avodah over here. And Rav Shila is just the opposite. Rav Shila says how it became tameh is governed or qualified by whether it's done by shogeg or mezid. Zrikat adam doesn't matter, it is miratzeh no matter what. V'l'Rav Shila, what about the fact that hadik tani shenitma ben b'shogeg ben b'mezid, which is the second braita that we brought, that says shenitma became tameh both b'shogeg or b'mezid? Yochi kamar, nitma b'shogeg, if it became tameh b'shogeg, v'zarko ben b'shogeg b'mezid. He interjects a piece of the braita that is missing, you say. That when it says there, ben b'shogeg, ben b'mezid, it doesn't mean about the tuma. It means shenitma b'shogeg. It became tameh b'shogeg. Then, Zarko, Ben Mishoge, Ben Mishoge. Fill in that missing word of Zarko, and then you'll be able to read the Brayta like I'm saying. Tashma. Dam shenitma, bizarko, bishogeg, hurtza, bimizilo hurtza. So dam that became tamei, and you do the zrika, bishogeg, that's the previous brayta that we had, where dam shenitma, and then you do the zrika, bishogeg, it's hurtza, bimizilo hurtza, achikamar. How do you read that brayta? So he's gonna read it this way. Dam shenitma, bizarko, ben bishogeg, ben bimizid, whether you do it bishogeg or mezid, nitma bishogeg hurtza, if it was tamei bishogeg, then it works. The mezid lo hurtza. So he interjects again a phrase in there to make it work better for him, because it reads more simply according to the way the Ravina reads it, which is that the zrika d'adam is being modified by the shogeg and mezid, because that's the last verb that was in the Baraita. So it makes sense to say the shogeg and mezid are modifying that. So in order to avoid that problem, Rav Shila says, just interject this phrase into the Baraita and it'll make sense to you. Dam shenitma. And then bizarko ben bishogeg ben mezid. Then you did the dam, whether it was mezid, shogeg, or mezid. Then nitma. And then it goes on again to explain about nitma, and then you differentiate between shogeg and mezid. So in both brightot, he has to amend the brightot slightly to have the lashon be clearer to say that the problem here is shogeg and mezid with regards to the tuma, and not shogeg and mezid with regards to the dam. Right, now the Baal Tosafot made a couple points over here, one of which is Rav Shvim Tomar. Gemara in Yevamot deals with this problem of the steer of the Braitot in a different way and answers Chada Doraita, Chada Derabanan. The Mi Doraita, the Braita that says that it works, Ben Bishogeg, Ben Bemezid, that's Din Doraita, that's Sittis Meratzeh. The Braita that says that Bemezid, it's not good, by Shogeg it is good, that's Mi Derabanan. And the Gemara there notes, that proves that the Chachamim have the ability to be Okir Davar Min HaTorah. Because even though the Torah says over here that Bemezid, it's Hurtzah, come and say it's not Hurtza. But that's the way the Gemara in Yevamot solves the problem. If that's the case, then why over here are we trying to solve the problem in a different manner? You can see the Baal Tosafot asked that question. If that's the answer given in Yevamot, what's forcing Rav Shila and Ravino over here to explain the Braitot in different manners when we already have an explanation, we already have an answer to this question? So Tosafot in the end answers that the Gemara in Yevamot already knows or incorporates that's what we're saying here. That is when it says it's Chada Midoraita, that means Min HaTorah, it doesn't matter Zrika, it doesn't matter Tuma. Everybody agrees that it's Hurtza. But then when it says Chada Midorabanan, that the Braita Midorabanan says that by Mezid we are Koneis, over there it's Markadidle. Meaning it's saying it knowing that there's a difference in opinion between Ravina and Rav Shila, and it's saying that one which is the Marabanan that we say al Ma'atzitz Meratzeh, each one according to his way will say what it is the Din Derabonan. In that way, he reconciles between the two. If you look in the Shita Mikubetzet, Odvav, towards the end, it says, Vim Tomar, Hocha Milo Mishani Hamidorait Hamidorabanan, Kidamrina Biyavamot, Beshlamar, the Nechle Lishnuye, Afilu Nemar, Ben Bishogeg, Ben Bemezid, Urtza, Afilu Midorabanan. So he gives an alternate answer, which is the Gemara over here, wanted to work the whole thing out and say that even if it is Midorabanan, in both cases, that you can still explain the Braita in that way. The Tosfot sees the solution, the reconciliation being that Din Derabanan there in Yevamot is what Ravina and Rav Shila are arguing about over here. On the other hand, the Shita Mikubetzet brings that the Gemara over here is saying, even if we don't accept that answer in Yevamot, and we want to make it all Derabanan, we still want to be able to explain both Braitot in that context. Okay, we're going to stop here by the Mishnah on the top of Chavav Amunah.